I'm gonna clean off here. I've been wanting to start kind of subtitling the messages when I started, and I just kind of resisted it. I couldn't resist it tonight, so I stuck that extra piece of title on there. And it kind of struck me as I got to reading in the unveiling of God this week, how Brother Branham really pressed down on this Elohim being the self-existent one. And then he started talking about the self-existent one in all his forms. And that just, it just stirred me, and I felt like maybe we would look at it a little bit tonight, because it ties in with the oneness. Although I almost didn't call this a oneness part, of my, I almost didn't, but it does tie in with it. So let's start in the message, and y'all have to excuse all my runny nose and my voice and my other stuff. I'm at, believe it or not, I feel better. So may not sound better, may not look better, but I feel better. So we appreciate the Lord, all he does for us. And so let's start at paragraph 71, and Brother Branham says, in the Laodicea church age, they put him out. And I may take a little liberty tonight, and everywhere I see a he and a him and a son, I might say the self-existent one sometimes. Because when you do that, it makes you think about what you're reading a little different. And Brother Branham said that that's what it is. So let's think about that. So they put the self-existent one out of the Laodicea church age. And now when we saw that happen, what did it look like? The self-existent one was, because Brother Branham says they put him out of the church age. So if they put him out, it had to be the self-existent one in some form. And so what did that look like to us? Did we see it? Because Brother Ram said it happened. And we know, if we look at the prophet's message, we know how he got put out of the message that God was bringing through the prophet. They put him out for it. All right. And in Luke, he said he would be revealed again. He, the self-existent one, would be revealed again as the Son of Man. So that's another form of the self-existent one. And so he's talking about after they put him out, or when they put him out, he's revealed as the Son of Man. The prophet fulfilling the rest of it. The Son of Man, the prophet fulfilling the rest of it. See, the scriptures tied perfectly together. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. What is it? It's the same God all the time. So anytime we see God in any age, in any form, it's the same God. He doesn't change. He changes his form, but God doesn't change his essence. Brother Branham said he doesn't change in essence. He changes in form. So that means God don't get bigger and littler. He's infinite already. God doesn't, it doesn't follow all our little rules and things. The Son of Man, the Son of God, Son of David. What is it? It's the same God all the time, just changing his form. And that's what I'm really going to bear down on tonight. Because when you start to see that it's just the same God changing his form, then where does that place you? Where does that place you? Think about it. What is it? It's the same God all the time, just changing his form in morphe. Brother Branham said, like changing his mask. He just changed it. He just changes his form. Same God, just changes what he looks like to us. It's a great drama to him. He's acting it out. God, the self-existent one, is acting out this big drama through these forms. The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of David. He's doing it through the pillar of fire. He's doing it through all these different things. It's still the same God, though. I know that's super simple, but just thinking about it. He just changed it. It's a great drama to him. He's acting it out. Now, if it's a great drama, he's got to know. And if you ever listen to a play, and you hear somebody do a play, and you hear one actor say something, the other actor is waiting for him to say that certain thing. Because when he says that certain thing, that's a cue to the other actor who's listening. And so when God comes down in a form and he says something, we know that in the predestinated bride, the other player in this drama, that they are listening for that cue. In that predestinated seat, God lets them see what to say back and when to say it. And we saw that. Isn't that beautiful to think about that? God's acting this drama out, because you can't come to him unless he draws you. He's acting both parts. You see it? The deep calling to the deep. You know, we've heard the message before a bunch of times. All right. Even this little woman. Now listen, he's going to give you an example of what he just talked about. Because he just said this is a drama that he's acting out. He came as Son of Man, the prophet. Done exactly what the word said he would do. Even that little woman, in all her sin, didn't matter, in all her sin, there at that well, she recognized him. She said, "We know the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. And that's what he'll do." She recognized, because she was a predestinated seed. See, she knew her part, but she didn't even know she knew her part. But when this one said his part, it came. It was inspired to say it. God's not going to mess up. He's not going to get mixed up. He's not going to do anything that... He's not going to miss a cue, in other words. Then she, where the rest of them didn't recognize it. See? They had their cue too, which was no cue. They're not going to recognize him, so they're going to act like they don't recognize him. And they were in sin to begin with. See, that little woman was in sin too. But she recognized him. That was the only difference. See? She had that predestination cue to know when she heard God's voice. It wasn't because somebody explained it so to her so good that when it happened, she saw it. It wasn't because Jesus was so perfectly what he was that she saw it. Because he was perfectly what he was in front of those Pharisees and their Sadducees, and they didn't see it. It was because that was what was in her, and they were calling to each other. It was God calling to God. Don't miss it. That's so simple, but when you think about those things in your life, see, think about them in your life, because the word applies to all his children. It applies to all his children. If it don't, then he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, they had nothing to recognize it with. Nobody gave them the play cues, and so they didn't know what he was going to say. Even though they gave him the Bible, they decided to change it all around. Y'all excuse me, I'm having a little bit of clogged upness here. And for his acts, he changes his form. God just changes his form. Then he came the form of Son of Man. Same God, just looked different. Was a man with his own will, but it was still God. A man that was dying, getting old, a man that did die, a man that probably stubbed his toe on a rock walking down the road more than one time. A man that probably tripped and fell more than one time. But it was still God. In another form. And when he came, then he came, the form of Son of Man, for the Reformer's age. Wesley, then he came, the former Son of Man. For the Reformer's age, Wesley and Luther and all down through, when we find out that they got it so bundled up, just like the Israelites did, till when he does appear in the last days in the Pentecostal age as the Son of Man, they rejected it. As the Holy Spirit, and he just a while ago said, in the form of the Son of Man, they rejected it. They did the same thing Israel did. And what does he do now? Return as Son of Man. And then, from that, Son of David. See how close we are? Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God. He is revealed in the last days as Son of Man according to Malachi 4. And I would like y'all to go back and read Malachi 4 this week and tell me where he got that from. I'm not saying it's not there, but I want you to read it and you tell me where he got it from when you read it, okay? If you'd want to, you don't have to. But he is revealed in the last days as Son of Man according to Malachi 4. If the prophet said it, it's the truth. I just wanted you to read it. All the rest, the prophecies pertaining to this hour, are right there in Malachi 4. No more dealing with the church after they put him out. Do you see that? After they put him out, the church is done. The church age is done. But yet, there he is. Brother Bram said the Gentiles are done at that point. But yet, there he is calling, trying to get those predestinated out of there, out of the church age, calling them somewhere else, out of the church age. But they done put him out of the church, and he's not dealing with the church no more. He's only dealing with that predestinated seed at that point. He must get them. And God in man had emptied himself. And in Joel 2:28, we find out he said, I will pour out in the last days my spirit. Now, if you notice the word there, Greek word, I may have this wrong, but the one I could find, you have to watch the words. The English sometimes means double meanings, just like the word we say God. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1. But now in the Bible, it said in the beginning, Elohim. Now, Elohim. The English called God, but really wasn't Elohim. Anything can be God. To the word God, you can make an idol a God. You can make the piano a God. You can make anything a God. But it isn't so in the word Elohim. So you can make anything a God, but Elohim is something different. It means the self-existing one. And I looked that up. Self-existing means you exist independent of anybody or anything. Nothing else. You're just all by yourself. And that's what Brother Brown told us what it was. Now, if he's the self-existing one, then there's not going to be any more people. You see what I'm saying? God is the only God. Elohim is the only Elohim. There's no two or three Elohims. There's no Elohim man and Elohim sister. There's none of that. It's just God, the one God, the one person, Elohim, the self-existing one. See, that piano cannot be self-existing. Somebody had to make that piano. Nothing else can be self-existing. Nothing else can be self-existing. So the word Elohim means he that always existed. Now you think about that. God can mean anything. See the difference in the word. He that always existed. Now, when he said here that he emptied himself or poured out, how now we would think like this, that he vomit up. There's nothing else to vomit up. There's nothing but him. There's no other piece of him, something different in him. The English word of emptied or poured out from him, see, something went out of him that was different from him. But the word kenos in the Greek does not mean that he vomited up, or his arm went off, or his eye went out, or another person. You see this? Everybody wants to take God and divide him up in little pieces, and they're a little piece of that. It's, but Abraham said that's wrong. He said there was no eternal sonship, and we can't keep doing that because it divides us away from the truth. Every time we go back to that idea, it pulls us away from the truth, and we cannot keep rubbing up against that ever. We got to leave that thing and get away from it. It's the one God, the self-existing God, and everything that comes from God. It's still God. If he creates throughout eternity, there's still going to be just the self-existing one. But then it'll look like millions of people. You see what I'm saying? It's still the self-existing one. He is all of those. He is expressing all of those. The thing is throwing people off all through the ages is because of what happened in the garden. And it made people, sinful people. It made them go and have their own will and do their own thing and go the wrong way from what God wanted things to be. And it created this kingdom of Satan. And it made people get all confused and all twisted up in their minds because they think that there's some part of that that's okay. There's some part of the way you're born into this world and the way that you view things and the way that people think they need to walk and act and stuff when they're born in sin. And they still can't turn that loose. They can't turn it loose because they think surely there's something to it, and there's nothing to it. We have to turn it our backs on that creation and walk away from it and go to the creation that God has shown us that is real. This is the real creation. I hope that makes sense. All right. Something went out of him that was different. That's not what happened. And it wasn't a different person. And it wasn't a chunk of him that come off. Don't miss that. It wasn't his eye that come out. You see that? It wasn't his arm that come off. It wasn't a piece of attribute inside of him that flew out. It's not that. It's the self-existing one began to show himself outwards. All right. He changed himself. He poured himself into another mask, into another form. It's the same God. He just is in a different form now. He shows himself in another form. Not another person went out of him called the Holy Spirit, but it was he himself. When you start thinking about you, you were in him then, in the self-existing one. So if he expresses out again, if he puts forth another branch, like he said, if another branch comes out of the vine, where does it come from? It's the self-existing one expressing himself again. Just turn our backs on this creation and turn it to the one he started inside of us. Not another person went out of him called the Holy Spirit, but it was he himself. You get it. He himself poured himself into the people. Christ in you. So, how beautiful How wonderful to think. God pouring himself into human being, into the believer, pour out. It was a part of his drama to do so. And we just read that a while ago. How the little woman recognized Christ as God was pouring himself out in Christ. God, all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily was in the person Jesus Christ. He was God and God alone. It wasn't a human being that God made independent of him. It was God as a human being. We always want to separate ourselves from God. We make ourselves, we're this creature. And God has something to do with us. But God, if God isn't projecting us, if God isn't pouring himself out in as us, then we're not part of God. We're part of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the rest of them. God in all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily, was in this person, Jesus Christ. And only then could they say, they said, well, can we see the Father? And he says, have I not been with you all this time? And you want to see the Father? You're looking at the Father. You see that? It's because he was in the form of the Son, they got it all confused. See? But the person, God, see, Jesus Christ, he was God and God alone. Not a third person or a second person or a first person, but the person, God, veiled in human flesh. It was that all-seeing God showing himself. I mean, self-existing God, one showing himself. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness for God, G-O-D Elohim, capital G-O-D in the Bible, refer it back anybody. It refers to the original and said, Elohim, in the beginning, the self-existent one, see? And the self-existent one, without controversy, great is the mystery of the self-existing one. For the self-existing one was made flesh, and we handled him. The self-existing one, veiled in human flesh. The great Jehovah that covered all space, time, and everywhere was made man. Was made man. And that was the fullness of God. Was a man. All right. You remember what we said when we first started a long time ago, and we started reading that out of Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, where he said he had one goal and one purpose, and it was in the back of his mind. All right. I started to bring that, but it was too much. I had too much. But go back and read that, or I'll send it to you if you want me to. And he said, Elohim, in the beginning, Elohim, I got that. Let's get down here. What? This is his way. This is the self-existing one's way. The parts of the drama. That's the way he's to act it out. His way of revealing himself to us as some different person. See? He's trying to show himself to us in this other man, in this man called Jesus. He was trying to show himself to us. And what did Brother Bram say? That when God interprets his word, he brings it to pass. And so there it was in front of us. A man walking around in shoe leather, like I said, that would, you know, maybe have a headache or stub his toe or whatever. And that was God showing you himself, the self-existing one. Why does he want to show you himself? Why does he want to show you himself?
Think about it. Is he so concerned that we understand who he is, that he would come down in a human body and die to show us his character? Why? Why would he do that? Think about that. Why would a God, the God, the self-existing one, take that time to do that? Think about it. He took the time to come down and do that and suffer that humiliation to show us, because what was he doing? Brother Bram said he was becoming us so that we might become him. He had to show himself to us and reveal to us who he was so that we might become him. But in order to do that, there had to be the fall first, so that you could be a person that wasn't him. A person that was nothing like his original idea about you. Somebody lost in a confusion and a mess and looking at death in a few years. Everybody was born into this world. But yet he come and become one of us to show us who he was. That show us, this is how you act. He didn't say, this is how you act. He just did it. He just walked and did it. Like Brother Branham said, he walked down through all those people there at that pool of Bethesda. Was that the name of the pool? He walked down through all them sick people to that one man, healed him, and walked back out. And he was showing you, you do what God tells you to do, and that's all you do. But he will tell you, be looking, be expecting, be open to him. Be listening. All right. He's going to, I don't have to tell you that. That's the way he's to act it out. His way of revealing himself to us as some different person. We're mortal. We're mortal. See? He become mortal so that we could become immortal. And he knows that. And we only understand as mortals. We only know as mortals. We only know our senses. What our senses will let us know. And rest of it, we have to believe by faith. We have to say there is a God, whether we see him or not. We believe it anyway, see? Whether there is or not, we still believe it because God said so. And it, like Abraham, could not see the son, no signs, no pregnancy of Sarah, not even any menstrual periods or anything, but yet God said so. All hopes, even her womb, was dead. His life in him was gone, and the stream of his life had dried up, and her life had dried up within her. You talk about having to believe in another reality, because all around him was the reality that did not fit the one that he was thinking in his mind, the one he held on to for 25 years. Don't tell me that wasn't God put that in him. Her life had dried up within her, and yet he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise, knowing that God was able to perform anything he said he would do. Now, who told him that? Who told Abraham that? Did he just dream it up one night? He just believed it when God put it in his heart. Are we okay? Are we? There's the way we got to believe the word today. How is it going to be? The way Abraham believed that word is the way we have to believe the word today. It's a whole nother reality. How is it going to be? I don't know. God said it's going to be that way, and that settles it. See, we don't have to work it out. It's not our responsibility to bring it to pass. It's our responsibility, like Mary, to say, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. That's the way you got to take the word for this day. That was her word for her day. Who is this great unseen person? Who is this that Abraham seen in visions? Right at last, though, he was manifested in flesh before the Son came. God himself came to Abraham in the form of a man at the end time, manifested. See, the form of man, manifested. He saw him in a little light one time, Abraham did. He saw him in visions. He heard his voice, many revelations. But just before that promised son, he saw him in the form of a man and talked to him and fed him meat and drink. See, notice, God himself veiled in human flesh. And what did Brother Branham say was happening there? Brother Branham said God was condescending down and becoming man. Brother Branham said that theophany, that God just took some dirt and blowed some dirt off of his hand. That's the way he explained it. And then they just stepped into those bodies. And do you know what? He said they had no beginning of days or ending of time. But he said that about the body. So you can deal with that ever how you want to. I believe what he said. This is a part of his way. A while ago he said acting out of drama was a part of his way. Now this is a part of his way too. This is the way that he manifests himself to us. So he acts out this drama to show himself to us. Manifest the eternal word God, Jehovah, made flesh. Like in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning was Elohim. Did I jump? No, I didn't. In the beginning was the self-existent one. And the self-existent one became the Word. And the Word was the self-existing one. And the Word was made self-existing one. He's talking about him being flesh a while ago. The flesh was made flesh. See, it's the same thing just unfolding. It's the same God just showing himself to us in all these different ways. And he wants to show himself to us so that we can become part of him. That was the intention all the time. This is the part of his way. Okay, got that. Like the attribute, see, it is in God. An attribute is your thought. God in the beginning, the eternal, he wasn't even God. He was the eternal. He wasn't even God. God's an object of worship or something, see. He wasn't even that. He was the self-existing one. Elohim, the eternal. But in him, his thoughts, he wanted to become material. Do you hear that? God, the self-existing one, wanted to become material. I think this must have been where Brother Holmes got his quote when he started that series on Elohim materializing, because this is a good one. I can see why it would have thrilled him. And what did he do? Then he spoke a word, because he wanted to be material. That was in his thoughts. And Brother Ram already, I've read y'all other quotes where Brother Ram said that he wanted to be, express himself as man. He wanted to become Savior. He wanted to become a human being. And we talked about, was it the last service or the service before, about the holiest of holies? Brother Ram said that was the church. But in him was thoughts he wanted to become material. And what did he do? When he spoke a word and the word was materialized, that's the whole picture. From Genesis to Revelations is nothing wrong. That's the whole picture from Genesis to Revelations. God becoming material. Do you see that? What is the great mystery that we've all looked at and all talked about so much is about the coming. Brother Ram said Jesus didn't know when it was going to be, that the Elohim is the only one knew that. The self-existing one is the only one knows that. And yet he said that every type in the Bible shows God coming in type. But then he told us that the coming has three parts. There's one coming. He calls it one great coming. And it's in three acts. And the first act we saw when Jesus was here, that was perfection. That was the fullness of the Godhead walking around here. That's as God unfolded himself to us in a human being born in of a woman. God materializing. That's the whole picture. From Genesis to Revelations is nothing wrong. It's the self-existing one materializing so he can be touched and feel. I don't know why this stirred me so much, but I'm saying it anyways. You know, so if it doesn't stir you, I'm sorry. If it don't mean anything to you, I'm sorry. But it stirred me. He materialized so he can be touched. If he'd done that, God wants to be touched. God wants to feel. Do you see that? Because that's what he said he done. He said he materialized himself, materialized so he can be touched and feel. And what does it say? He feels our infirmities. And then the big millennium, there is Elohim sitting on the throne, the self-existing one sitting on the throne. See, that's right. With all his subjects around him that he presented before the foundation of the world. Like a man building chimes or making chimes, the molder. Each bell has got to ring different from the other. The same materials, but so much iron and so much steel and so much brass to make it give the ting. That's the way God did. He bred this one to that one, and this one to that one, to this one to that one, till he got exactly what he wanted. That's how he come down. That's how he came down. Do you see that? Him bringing this person on the earth, putting that predestinated seed in them, bringing this through them, then bring the other one, bring that through them, bring this one, bring that through them. That's how he came down. That's how he come down. God unveiled himself in a pillar of fire down through the prophets and then into the Son of God, which he was God. See, it's the same God bringing out exactly from perfection to perfection, from glory to glory. It's the way the church goes. Notice, through the ages, the same way, by his prophets. He revealed himself. He brought himself to pass. He wasn't done when he brought Jesus on the scene. He paid the price, but he was not done revealing himself. Because the coming is in three stages. He revealed himself. Them wasn't exactly prophets. They were gods. He said so. For what they spoke was God's word. They were the flesh that God was veiled in. And then they were in type, Brother Bram said. Even then they were called gods. They were gods. Jesus said himself, "How can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God, and your own law says that them who the word of the Lord comes to was God?" See? And so it was God formed in a man called a prophet, see? And the word of the Lord come to this man so that he wasn't the prophet. The prophet was the veil, but the word was God. See, Brother Bram said a while ago, see, the prophet is the mask. That's the form that God took. The man's word won't act like that. Me just saying something out here won't work like that. But when God is voicing those vocal chords, it's something different. The man's word won't act like that. See what I mean? It cannot act in that manner. But potentially it was God, see? He was the word of God in the form of man called a man. Notice, he never changed his nature, only his form. See, it's the same God. Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he did not change his nature when he come. He's always that prophet, all down through the age, same thing. He's trying so hard in this message, this unveiling of God. He's trying so hard to get the people to see what's taking place. He's not going to go right out and tell them. He told them at the beginning of this message that God says things a certain way to make ones turn away from the message and make others come to it. Like I changed from husband when my child is born, then I'm father. And when my child is born, I'm grandfather, see? But I don't change. It's still me. See, I didn't get bigger. Well, not that's a bad example, I guess. My character didn't change. I'm still Chris, you know. I'm Chris, a daddy, and then I'm Chris Pawpaw. And if I live long enough one day, I may be Chris great-grandpawpaw or whatever that comes out to. But I'll still be the same Chris if I got my same mind. I don't change. It's still me, see? And that's God. It's just I changed your form, see? Notice. And nature changes it down from a young man to the middle-aged to an old man. And there you are, you see. You just change your form. And you couldn't say a little fella standing here, 16-year-old, and say he's a grandfather. He couldn't be. His form has to change. Has to be changed. A few years changes it. Then he becomes grandpa. You see what I mean? And it's the same person all the time. The same person, God, all the time in this way. He reveals himself to his people in doing this. Notice that the age of the pillar of fire, he revealed himself to his people. In the age of Jesus, he revealed himself to his people. In the age of the Holy Spirit, as Son of God. He always reveals himself in that manner to his people and making the people to know him. He is revealed behind something, notice, in the same way or same nature every time. It's the same nature. This is what Brother Graham said. I mentioned last Sunday that he said he looked through and he saw the pattern that Paul set at the beginning of the church age. And from that and the help of the Holy Spirit, he said he could go through and see the ministries down through history. And God could show him the ones trying to stay with that original one, trying to get back and trying to stay with that original. And that's what he's saying right here. God don't change his nature. It's always God's nature. It's always his same nature. Paragraph 92. God veiled in Jesus to do the work of redemption at the cross. God could not die as a spirit. He could not die as a spirit. But God still had to die because he said he was going to pay the price. The self-existing one said he was going to die, that he was going to become one of us. Now listen, as a spirit, he's eternal. He can't do it as a spirit. But he had to put on a mask and act the part of death. And he did die, but he couldn't do it in his God form. He had to do it in son form. As Son of Man on earth, see, he had to be in son form. Then when he returned on Pentecost, he was Son of God again. See what I mean? Get that idea? All right, so we're skipping a little ways down in the message here. We're almost, same message, we're almost finished. Now he starts talking about this veil, the one that was in the temple, the Jews' temple, the one we talked about last Sunday, about the Shekinah being behind the veil. behind the old temple in the veil, what was back behind there? What was Jehovah? What was hid back there? What was the veil hiding? What was all these different forms of God down through the ages? They were hiding the self-existing one. Oh, hallelujah. What is the veil hiding? It's hiding the word. The veil, old badger skins, was hidden, hiding the word to their eyes, natural. Behind there was the showbread. Behind there was the Shekinah glory. But it was hid from them. It was all hid. All the glory of God was right behind that old badger skin. That's right. All hid to the natural eye. But it was back there. Brother Branham said that they believed by faith that it was there. And they knew it was there. It is today too. You sure ain't talking about the temple over in Jerusalem, because there ain't no temple over in Jerusalem. Not a Jewish one anyways. So what is he talking about? It is today too. It's called a bunch of holy roller fanatics. So if this is a veil, if these people are a veil, if they're a form, if they're a mask, what are they the form of the mask or the veil of? It's called a bunch of holy rollers and fanatics. That's the veil. That's the badger skin he's talking about. But they don't know what's hid behind there, the ones watching them. They don't know it. That's what they don't know, see? But then God, in mercy, rent the veil for them to see. He's not talking about when he rent it back yonder. He rent it here, brother and sister. But back there when he rent the veil, right in front of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't see it. They're like, what in the world happened? They didn't put the two together that there on the veil, Brother Bram said, God was trying to show them the mercy seat. He's trying to show them that he rent that one because there's one here. And he started comparing it, brother. I didn't bring the quote, but he was comparing it to how that Moses, when Moses saw, asked to see God, and he said he saw the back part of a man. He said a bloody back is what he saw. A bloody back. And so God was showing him the mercy seat years before the mercy seat come. And Brother Bram said that that's what he was trying to do there on the cross when he rent the veil, was to show them that if this is rent and man can go in there, then this one is now this is now salvation. This is the mercy seat. Y'all, I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't know I was going to get out of breath, but I have gotten out of breath tonight. So y'all excuse me. I'm sorry and all these sniffles and stuff. We're almost done. It's called a bunch of holy roller fanatics. So keep thinking about that. Because Brother Ram said, it's the same God. He just changes his form. And if he says these are one of those forms, if it's one of the badger skins, if it's one of those Morpheus, then what does that mean? That's that Elohim in another form. That's you and I and all of his children is him in another form. And what did Brother Brown say? God came, became one of us so that we might become him. Remember, he said that over and over and over. He said it. Because we were always in him in the beginning. Rent the veil for them to see. Then God, in mercy, rent the veil for them to see. And they were so wrapped up in their traditions, it was still hid to them even to this day. Same now. The glory, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory that comes upon the believer. Now, I mean the real believer that causes the works of God and faith to come into him. What does? The Shekinah glory causes the works and the faith to come into him. So don't tell me you're going to work it up. It ain't going to happen. Period. Brother Bram said there's always people sitting in the congregation, some trying to work it up just as hard as they can do it, and some having all this other faith that he said, and others it's just given to them. And that's the way it was always, because God has been acting it out always.
Amen.
God is sovereign, and God acts it out like he wants to do it. And the first quote I ever put on the church site a long time ago was whenever Brother Branham talked about the... some of the children of Israel that were having trouble, and they were behind this wall, and they were way outnumbered. And they had prayed about it, and then the battle turned. And they were way, way outnumbered. And the battle turned, and God used them to rout these other ones. And I saw at the end that it was God's victory. Every one of those victories, when God took Israel across there with Joshua. So when he took Joshua across there, every last one of them battles was God in Joshua. God in those people. Was it not? Because the only thing that stopped them from winning something is when they stopped doing what they were told to do. They were just living their life and going about taking the land as he told them to do it. But when Achan decided he would do something he wasn't supposed to do, it messed it all up. But as long as Achan just done what he was supposed to, it was fine. But then he stopped. You see that? As long as they done what God told them to do, then the miracles poured through them. They didn't work those miracles up. They just stood on what God said was the truth. If you need healing, then you stand on the word that God is your healer. You let him take care of it from there. You don't have to worry about nothing else. That's what he meant so many times. And I can go find you quotes if you want to. So many times Brother Branham said, just have faith. What kind of faith was he talking about? Just have faith in God. Just trust him for what you need. Brother Branham said, that's what opened up that channel. He said, for Anna and the other brother that was there at the temple, I can't think of his name right now. Simeon, was that his name? Simeon? You think about that. God told them both what was going to happen, what was going to take place. And Brother Bram said they had a home where they respected the Bible, where they respected the Word. And he said, and they tried to live by that. That's what they held up as the truth. And Brother Bram said that made a channel that God could do things through. You see that? Jesus said, I do nothing unless the Father first shows me. Brother Bram said he was like at barn with the door open on both ends. I'm going to find that quote. I found it and lost it like six times now, but I'm going to find it again. Where Brother Bram said he's like a building with the door. Now you think about this old barn we got out here in the back. If you took and propped both them doors open on both ends, and it was a windy day, and it wasn't full of junk, you think about how the air could just move through and move back through. There's no door stopping it. There's nothing in the way. It's hitting it. Brother Bram said that's the way the Holy Spirit could move through Christ. He could come in and do this. He could come in and do this. He could tell him to keep walking down the road when Lazarus was dying. And then when he come into him again, he could tell him to keep on walking. And he would do what he was told to do. And he could hear when God told him to do something. Because he knew he was walking in his word. And I'm trying to just... We have to turn loose of this reality and hold on to his reality, and he'll make his word come to pass. All right. Same one, same now. The glory, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory that comes upon the believer. Now, I mean the real believer that causes the works of God and the faith to come into him, to believe the word of God. That's all hid to them eyes. They say, them things are past. See, the disbelievers. they see these people living and they think they're crazy. You see, they still are living behind the veil. You're not behind the veil. I mean, he's talking about you're not outside the veil, not being able to see what's behind the veil. Little ones, God has come in plain view of you. Notice, all the glory that is in God is in the Word. And all the blessings that's in God is in the Word. It's hid to the unbeliever by tradition. They can't get anything from God. See what I mean? But it's all in Christ. All that God was, he emptied himself. Kenos came into Christ. And we, into Christ, are behind the veil. So now we are invited into him. Invited into him. He went and got the book, brother and sister. He's claimed it and he's invited us into him. To be partakers of all that he is. We're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. See that? They know that glory. They read of it. It's in the Word here. The glory of God and things like that. It's just a word to them. But to us, it's the manifestation. It's no more a word. It's a reality. Amen. And God said, let there be light. And that was the Word. But now there's light. It ain't the Word, it's light. He's trying to get you to see. It's not just the Word no more. We ain't just reading about it no more. He preached a whole message there at the end, things that are to be. And he talked about all these things. All right. Now, it isn't just a written word to us. It's a reality. We are in him. He's invited us into him to be partakers of all that he is. And now it's a reality to us. Now we're enjoying. Now we behold him. Now we see him, the Word, manifesting himself. It's hid out there because why? It's veiled in human flesh. See? They can't see it for the flesh. Because they got all these ideas in the flesh. When they have to turn loose of all those things. I'm sorry for all that sniffling. I know that was rough. I'm sorry. But